بسم الله والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. طيب. This is our 10th session for basic Arabic grammar review. And today we're going to continue with the topic that we started last week, dealing with the combination of prepositions and pronouns, any connected pronouns. Does anybody, before we start, does anybody have any questions about pronouns or prepositions in terms of what we covered in the past two or three classes? Any questions about it, or any questions about what and you should have been reviewing for homework for our class in preparation for our class today? Any question? Anybody have a question? All right. So let's just say then, Annie, before we read from the page that we have, or the pages that we're going to do today, which today we should be doing page 10, and hopefully 11 also, inshallah. Okay, so from what we mentioned in the previous weeks concerning pronouns or prepositions, concerning prepositions, we said that prepositions can be divided into two types, and those prepositions which can be connected to clear nouns, prepositions that can be connected to clear nouns, and as well, alaykum salam, can be connected to pronouns. Whereas some prepositions, alaykum salam wa rahmatullah, can be connected to clear nouns, but they cannot be connected to any pronouns. From the pronoun prepositions that we have taken in Medina Book 1, the primary ones that we've taken, fi and ila and ala and min, these can be used with clear nouns like min al bayti, or ila al bayti, or ala al maktabi, and so on. They can be used with clear nouns, and they can also be used with pronouns, like you can say min hu, min ka, minna, and so on. Okay, so this is what I mean by the prepositions can be divided into two types, yani those which can be used with clear nouns, as well as they can be used with pronouns, and others which can only be used with clear nouns. As far as the pronouns, we said that pronouns also are in two separate groups. The pronouns that are not connected or not attached, like huwa and he and anta and anti and ana, singulars and plurals. And those which are attached can be connected. Yani can be connected to other words. They can be connected, yani, to nouns. Like, for example, you say kitabuhu or kitabuha or kitabuka or kitabuki, and so on. They can be connected like this. And they also can be connected to verbs. For example, you say ra'aytu hu, ra'aytu ha, and so on like this. Okay, so we said these are two divisions of pronouns. The ones that are unattached are used in the case where, yani, we need a pronoun that is damir arraf, yani, when it is in the place where it should be marfu'an. And those which connect are used in two cases, that is, yani, in the case where something should be majroor or should be mansoob. Whether it should be majroor or whether it should be mansoob. The connected pronouns are used like this. Okay, so this is the basic breakdown of pronouns and prepositions. Prepositions that can be connected to clear nouns as well as pronouns, and those which only connect to clear nouns. And as far as the pronouns, they are the attached pronouns and the unattached pronouns. So try to keep this in mind as we go through the lesson today. And primarily, what we're going to be looking at today, we're going to be looking at the pronouns which connect, not the unattached pronouns. We're going to be looking at the attached pronouns. And we're going to see them as they attach to prepositions on this page. And we will also see them being attached to a dharf on the next page, inshallah. So we're going to be looking at the attached pronouns. These are the pronouns that we're looking at here, and we should be paying careful attention And in the third person, masculine and feminine, we have hu and ha. And in the second person, masculine and feminine, we have ka and ki. And in the first person, we have e, yani the ya al-mutakallam. And for the plurals, we have hum and hunna for the third person. And we have kum and kunna for the second person. And we have na for the first person. Okay, all of these pronouns, we should memorize them. We have to memorize them. For 2 weeks now, I've been encouraging everybody to make sure you memorize these pronouns and practice with them. And for homework, inshallah, we should have read page 10, which we're going to look at right now. Okay, last chance to ask a question before we start the exercise. Before we start the reading. Last chance to ask a question. Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yes, Faiz. Ahmadu wa Amina. Ahmed, right? Wa Amina. Okay, what about it? Zahaba. Zahaba. And if you're talking about two people, you say Zahaba. Zahaba. Now. And if we see a group of men and women together, do we say Assalamu alaikum or Assalamu alaikunna? Kum. We use the masculine. And if they are men and women, then we use the masculine. No. Okay. Of what? This book here? Okay. Jazakallah khair. Alright, if we look at the top of the page, last week we went over the top of this page just so that everybody can understand what kind of arrangement this, how this is arranged. And we see, again, at the top of page 10, from these notes for Medina Book 1. Notes for Medina Book 1. And we see on the top of page 10, from the right to the left, we have Damirun and Damairu. Damirun meaning the singular, and Damairu meaning the plural for the word pronoun or pronouns. And then under that, we have again two columns. We have Marfu'un in one column in the nominative case, and we have Mansub and Majrur in the accusative and genitive case. Okay, so these two columns represent what? The two types of pronouns, meaning the pronouns that are independent, unattached. Okay, that's under marfu'un. In the nominative case, the pronouns are unattached. Okay, we have huwa and huma and hum and hiya and huma and hunna to the end of the list. Alright, so the first column, we have the pronouns that are unattached. That's when we need a pronoun in the marfu' case. Any question about this? When, yani we have a word that is in the position where it should be marfu'un, and we want to replace it with a pronoun, then we have to use the marfu' pronoun. Okay, like huwa and hiya, and anta and anti, and ana and nahnu, like this. Alaykum as-salam. The second column right beside it, we have pronouns in the accusative and genitive case, mansub and majroor. And here, in this column, we have the unconnected, unattached. I'm sorry, the connected or attached pronouns, like hu and huma and hum and ha, huma, hunna, ka, kuma, kum, ki, kuma, kunna, ya al-mutakallam, and na. These are the attached pronouns, and they are used in either the mansub, accusative case, or the majroor, genitive case. Alright, so we have two sets of pronouns here. One are the pronouns that are unattached or independent. That's in the used for the marfu case, and in nominative case. And then we have those pronouns when they are connected. And this is used for both the mansub, accusative case, and the majroor, genitive case. Alright, so this is very important that it's clear in our minds, these two different groups of pronouns and what they are used for. Okay, each one, and each set of pronouns has a specific use. When you need a pronoun in the marfu case, you have to use the unattached, independent pronoun. If it is majroor, like it's connected to a preposition, or it's mudhafun ilay, connected to a noun, mudhafun ilay, like kitabuhu, or baytuhu, or sayyaratuhu, yani when it's connected like that, that's the majroor case, because mudhafun ilay is majroor, so we have to use a connected pronoun. If it's the object of a verb, like you say, katabtu al-kitab. You want to replace kitab with a pronoun? You say what? Katabtu hu. Kitabtu hu. Katabtu hu. Okay? Waalaikum salam. In this particular case, al-kitab, katabtu al-kitab. Al-kitab is the maf'ulun bi. And the maf'ulun bi is mansub. So if you want to replace it with a pronoun, you have to find the what? A pronoun that's used in the mansub case. And that means that's the connected pronouns. So you say, يعني رأيته رأيتها رأيتك. I saw you speaking to a man. رأيتك. I saw you speaking to a woman. رأيتهم, speaking about a group of people. And like this, alright? After this, in the next column, we have كتاب محمدٍ, Muhammad's book, or the book of Muhammad. And then we have Muhammad being replaced by a pronoun, كتابه. Okay? If you notice, Kitabu Muhammadin is what kind of construction? Idafa. Idafa construction. The book of Muhammad, or Muhammad's book. That's an Idafa construction. And we said that the Mudhafun Ilayh, the second part of the Idafa construction, is always Majroor. It's always Majroor. So, if we want to replace it with a pronoun, we have to use a pronoun for the Majroor case. And the pronouns for Majroor case are the connected pronouns. So replacing Muhammad, yani with a pronoun, the book of Muhammad, we will say his book, right? So we have to use the third person masculine singular, hu. We don't say kitabu huwa, right? Not kitabu huwa. We say what? Kitabu hu. Yani if it was kitabu Aishata, the book of Aisha. We want to replace it with a pronoun. Instead of the book of Aisha, we say her book. So we have to use a pronoun that's in the majroor case. Mudhafun ilayhi majroor. We have to use a attached pronoun. So we say instead of kitabu hiya, her book, we'll say what? Kitabu ha. This is really what this is all about. Okay, this is what this lesson is about. If you understand that, alhamdulillah, it's just a matter of us reading through this lesson, and it should be no problem. There are some modifications, as we said, of some of the pronouns. Third-person pronouns, like who, and whom, and huma. Yani there's a modification of the Dhamma being changed to a Kesra in two cases. The Dhamma being changed to a Kesra for pronunciation reasons. Not because of grammatical position, but for pronunciation reasons, we change the Dhamma to a Kesra. In which situation? When do we do that? After Ya. After Ya. Whenever the last letter of a word is Ya with Sukoon. Ya with Sukoon. Then the Hu becomes He. Like in, yani for example, the preposition Ala. In this case, Ala, when it is connected to something, this Aleph Maksura becomes Ya. So here, if you want to connect the pronoun Hu to it, it's preceded by Ya with Sukoon. So the Hu becomes He. So you say Alayhi. Yani, for example, you say the Prophet Muhammad Alayhi As-Salam. Alayhi As-Salam. You don't say Alayhu, Yarhamukallah. Don't say Alayhu. No, because this Hu, when it's preceded by Ya with Sukoon, then it has to change from Hu to He. And same thing with Hum becomes Him, and Huma becomes Hima. And we'll see that as we go across this chart. Okay, that's the first case in which Hu becomes He. That is, when it's preceded by Ya with Sukoon. And the second case is what? Preceding, when the last letter before the pronoun who, when the last letter before it is a kesra, single vowel kesra. If the last letter is a kesra, then in that case also we do the same thing. For example, if we said ala, right, preposition, so that the last letter can be kesra, right? Ala Maktab, right? Maktab kasra, right? Hu here would not be correct, right? Because we don't say ala maktabi hu, but we have to change hu to he, and therefore we say what? Ala maktabihi. Alright, so pay attention to this modification for the purpose of pronunciation. It has nothing to do with the grammar, and it changed from dhamma to kasra because it changed from marfu'un to majrurun. No, it has nothing to do with that. It's just for sound purposes, yani for the sound to be easy in the pronunciation of the word. Okay, so if this is understood, inshallah, the rest of it should be easy. Any question? Okay, we're going to look at these prepositions. We're going to go across the chart, yani from right to left, and we're going to read what is there, and yani, if anybody has a question about any example that comes here, yani, we'll see the first line that we're reading across has huwa. That's the independent pronoun that's in the nominative case, marfu'un. Huwa means he. And it also may mean it. He or it, masculine, right? Okay, huwa is the third person, masculine singular pronoun. Whereas underneath it, yani, we see the dual and then we see the plural. And then after that we go to the feminine, hiya, and the dual and the plural, hunna, and so on. Then we go to the second person, and this is how we're going to look down the chart, from third person, masculine and feminine, and then second person, masculine and feminine, and then first person. And we're going to look at the singular, the dual, and the plural. Even though we're not responsible for dual, but we just want to read the whole chart all the way through, so we're going to also read the duals. Okay, so in the first column we have huwa, that is the dhamir ar-raf, yani in the place when it's marfu'un, meaning he. And then after that we have hu. Hu is the attached pronoun that's either going to be used in the case when it is accusative, mansub, or genitive, yani majroor, hu. After that we have yani kitabuhu, which means what? His book, kitabuhu, his book. And then we have fi kitabihi, fi kitabihi. Okay, now we see that the same word, kitabuhu, now became kitabihi. Why did it become kitabihi? Okay, one person, because I'm having a little difficulty understanding all of you at one time. Now, because of fi, because of the preposition fi, so kitabu became kitabi because of fi. And then hu became he because of the last letter of kitab being changed to kasra. And if the last letter before the pronoun hu, if the last letter before it is kasra or ya with sukun, the hu becomes he. So it became kitabu hu. After fi, it became fi kitabi he. Fi kitabi he. Naam. Tayyib. After this, we have the prepositions. Ani, four columns. Min, ila, fi, and ala. Min, meaning from. Ila, meaning to. Fi, meaning in. And ala, meaning on. And pay attention to the preposition ila. Ila, it ends with alif maksura. Okay? There are two types of alif, right? We have alif maksura, which is this alif in this word here. This alif that's written like a ya, but it doesn't have two dots. And then we have alif mamduda. Alif mamduda. Yani, the alif that is written in this verb here. Dhahaba. The alif that's just written straight up. Like a straight line. Okay? Two types of alif. This word, ala, ends with alif maksura. And likewise, yani ala and ila, both of them end with alif maksura. That alif maksura, when there's something attached to it, a pronoun is attached to it, the alif maksura is transformed into the letter ya. It's transformed into a ya. Which means when it becomes ya with sukoon, if the pronoun hu or hum or huma follows that ya with sukoon, hu is going to become what? Hu becomes he, and hum becomes him, and huma becomes hima. Okay? So when we do the prepositions, yani pay attention when we come to ila and ala, when they are connected to a preposition, the alif maksura on the end is going to become a ya. And when it becomes a ya, if we have the pronoun hu, it has to become he. Hum has to become him. And huma has to become hima. So pay attention, especially in these two columns, ila and ala. Now,
what is the meaning of maksura and mamduda?
Yeah, yani, literally, it doesn't matter what they mean, but what we should know is what they are. If somebody says mamduda, you know that it is the one that's straight up. Mamduda, yani, means that it's elongated, going up, elongated. Yani, it's stretched up. And maksura means that it's coming down, short, shortened, going down. Okay, so the one that's going up is mamduda, yani, means to extend something, to elongate it. And maksura means to shorten something. And to make it short. So this was, these are the descriptions that they gave to these types of aleph. The one that is extended up and the one that is going down that looks like yeah.
So the one that is long, you speak?
No. No, we're just saying this is a description of how it's written. Not in sound. Aleph maksura, aleph mamduda, they're pronounced the same way. Exactly the same way. There's no difference in, they're pronounced aleph. Yani, the aleph, if it is used as a long vowel, then it extends the fatha sound from one count to two counts. No matter alif maksura or alif mamduda, same. Sound is the same. The sound is the same and the length of the vowel sound is the same in both of them. There's no difference in the way that they are pronounced. The only difference between them is alif maksura. When there's something connected to it, pronoun, preposition, pronoun connected to it, the alif maksura is transformed into ya. The ya that it is written in its form. And it's written in the form of a ya without two dots. It actually becomes ya at that point if you connect a pronoun to it. Alright, so and let's read across. We said in the first column, first line, we have huwa, the pronoun for the nominative case. And then we have hu, the pronoun for the accusative and genitive case. And then we have kitabuhu. And after fi, we have fi kitabihi. Then we have the preposition min with the same pronoun hu, the attached pronoun. We say from him min hu. Ila, we say to him ilayhi. Yani ilayhi is composed of two parts. The first part is what? Ila, and the second part is hu. That becomes he, because of the ya with sukun. So we have min hu, from him, ilayhi, to him. And with fi, we have fi he. Originally, fi he is what? Fi hu. But the hu becomes he, because of aleph, I mean ya with sukun, preceding hu becomes he. Fi he, in him, or in it. And then we have with ala, alayhi, composed of ala and hu, became alayhi. Is it clear? Second line. Second line is the dual. And again, we're not responsible for dual, but anyway, we're going to read them to complete the chart. Huma. What is the meaning of huma? The two of them. The two of them. It's dual form, muthanna, for the third person. And this dual form, huma, is used for masculine and feminine. Whether they're two men or two women, we say huma. Meaning the two of them. The two of them. Huma. And also, this form of the pronoun, huma, is used for the unattached as well as the attached pronoun. Same form. Yani, if it's in the nominative case, we say huma. If it's in genitive case, we say huma. And if it's in the accusative case, we say huma. Okay, it's used the same if it's attached or unattached. Most of the pronouns, the attached form is different than the unattached form. But for this, there are a couple like this that remain in the same form as it goes through the different cases. So we have huma for the unattached marfu'un pronoun, and we have huma again for the mansub and majrur accusative and genitive pronoun. And then we have with the word kitab, we have kitabu huma. Kitabuhuma, meaning what? Huh? not both books. Kitabuhuma. This is the idafa construction. Kitab, the book of who? Huma. The book of the two of them. The book of the two of them. Yani, if you're talking about two people, and you're saying this book belongs to the two of them, you say Kitabuhuma. Kitabuhuma. They have one book, and the two of them are sharing it. Kitabuhuma. Okay? After that, we have fi, the preposition with the same word, kitabuhuma. After fi, it became fi kitabihima. Kitabi, with kesra. When the kesra, because of the preposition, it changed huma to hima. Kitabihima. In the book of the two of them. And then we have min, min huma, from the two of them. Ilayhi, ilayhima. Yani meaning to the two of them. Ilayhi, yani from ila plus huma, the ila alif maksur becomes ya. So instead of ila, it became ilayhi, and then huma is changed to hima, hima, ilayhima. And then with fi, we have fi hima, yani the huma again became hima because of what? The ya, with sukoon in the preposition fi. Fi hima, and then we have alayhima, yani from ala, on or upon, and huma, ala became alay, and huma became hima. Okay, notice here, in the last three words, ilayhima, fihima, and alayhima. In each of these cases, the pronoun huma became hima. For what reason? What is the single reason why the pronoun huma became hima in all three of these cases? Huh? Because of the ya with sukun. But notice though, that there's a difference between the ya with sukun in one of them from the other two. What is the difference? The ya with sukun in one of these words is different. And it looks the same, but it's used for a different purpose than the ya with sukun in the other two. Which one is different in these three? Look at them carefully. Pay attention. This is a question that is designed to see who's really looking at this thing meticulously. Now, Abdurrahman just came back from a long journey, 3,000, 5,000 miles away. Comes in answering questions now. Fihima. That one is different. Okay, tfihima, the ya with sukun here is a little different than the ya with sukun in ilayhima and alayhima. What is the difference? Why is it different? Huh?
Sir?
Yeah, it's okay. Ibrahim.
Because this one begins with the fa, while the other one is a lamb before.
That's not it.
Because the
ya has two dots. In fi, the ya has two dots. But we're not talking about the fi. We're talking about this combination right here. Ilayhima and alayhima and fihima. What is the difference between the ya with sukoon in fihima as opposed to the other two? Naam, Abu Bakr.
So the ya is ilayhima.
Okay, and we have ilayhima. He's going to explain this to us right now. Ilayhima, and we have alayhima, alayhima, and we have what? Fihima. Look at the difference between here, okay? Okay, what's the difference?
I think that the ya in those two, this is originated from Alif Maksura.
Okay, the ya in ilayhima is originated from Alif Maksura, and in alayhima is originated from Alif Maksura. And this one is originally ya.
Yeah.
That's one difference. Is there any other difference? That's very important. That's a very important difference. And then there's a second difference also. And the reason why I'm asking this question, because I want you to really pay attention to things so that you see everything that's there and you understand what's happening there. There's one other difference in the sound of the ya. In the sound of this ya, as opposed to the sound of these two. Huh? Aleph? And fihima? Okay, that's the point, but make it a little bit more clear in your explanation. Your explanation doesn't really help me a lot. I mean, you got the point. Yeah. Huh? Okay, fihima. Look, in this fihima, this ya, is it elongating? Ya, kasra here is elongation. Yani this ya here in fihima is elongation. Yani it's med elongating the kasra. This one here is not elongation. It's not elongating kasra. Rather, it is a combination of two different vowel sounds, fatha and ya. That's not elongation. That's not a long vowel. But what is it? It's a diphthong. Combination of two different vowel sounds. Yani, alay, and this is a diphthong. Fatta, ya. Ilay, this is a diphthong. Fatta, ya. Fi, that's not a diphthong. That's a long vowel. Okay? And this is, yani, from our basic, yani, beginning, when we first started studying Arabic, we learned the difference between a long vowel and a diphthong. A diphthong is two different vowel sounds coming together. Elongation is just the same vowel sound being lengthened. Okay? So this is the difference. Yeah, and it doesn't make a difference in terms of the meaning of the word. Okay? But it does make a difference in the way we pronounce the sound. The way we pronounce the sound. Because the sound of elongation, the kasra sound is just elongated, it's lengthened, that's all. But in this case, we don't have a lengthening, rather we have a combination of two different vowel sounds, fatha and ya. Alright, so this is just yani something to make us kind of think a little bit, okay, to wake us up. It's still kind of early, right? Okay.
Huh? That was a good question. I don't think nobody will pick up on that like that.
Anyway, alhamdulillah, yani, we want to be meticulous in our examination of the language. We want to see every single point. Whatever we have learned, we want to see. We've learned this before. We want to make sure we don't forget it. This is really the point of this question. Make sure we don't forget. Of course, alhamdulillah, when you're reading, as you read it correctly, it's good. If you understand the meaning, it's good. That's sufficient. But in terms of teaching, you need to remember that there are certain rules, basic rules that we learned a long time ago. Those basic rules, when you teach, you have to explain them. So the person who doesn't know this, they have to be able to understand what you already understand. That's why you're reading it correctly. But they don't know this. So when you're teaching, you have to make sure that people know. And then sometimes, yani, a question may come up that's related to basic rules. And if you don't remember your basic rules, sometimes you can't answer a simple question. Because what? You forgot the basic rules. Basic rules that all of us have taken previously. Okay, third line. The third line is hum. And hum is used as a pronoun meaning what? They. Or them or theirs. Depending on which place it came, right? So hum we see as a marfu'un pronoun. It has the form hum. And as mansub and majroor pronoun, it also has the same form hum. And it's the same whether it's used in the case of marfu'un or in the case of mansub or majroor. Still hum. Yani when it's independent, separate, or when it's connected, it's still hum. And it means the third person, masculine, plural. Hum. They. Okay, when you're talking about a group of males. Hum. So after hum and hum, we have kitabuhum. Yani, baytuhum, sayaratuhum, qalamuhum, hum, kitabuhum, meaning their book. After fi kitabihim, fi kitabihim. Yani, the kasra in kitab here, as a result of fi, changes the hum to him. Fi kitabihim, and then with the pronouns min and ila and fi and ala, we have minhum, meaning from them, ilayhim, to them, fihim, in them, alayhim, on them or upon them. Okay, next three lines, we're looking at the feminine third person, singular, hiya, dual, huma, and plural, hunna. Okay, these are the third person feminine pronouns, singular, dual, and plural. Notice that the dual third-person feminine pronoun huma is the same as what? As the masculine dual, yani third-person pronoun. It's the same. Huma for masculine, huma for feminine. The dual is the same here, okay? So, okay, let's go across the line. Line number four, here. The independent pronoun marfu in case here means what? She. Or it, if it's referring to? If it's third person noun, if it's referring to inanimate thing, we say it. In translation, we say she. If it's a person, and it. If it's not, okay, here. And then for the connected pronoun in mansub or majrur case, instead of here, we don't say kitabu here, but we say what? Kitabu ha. So we have to use ha here, just like we use hu for the masculine third person singular. For the feminine third person singular, we use ha. سيارتها بيتها ابنها ها. Okay, so with kitab we have what? كتابها, meaning her book. في كتابها, in her book. منها, منها, from her. إليها, to her. وعليكم السلام. فيها, in her. And alayha, on or upon her. Okay, the duals, huma is used for the independent, unattached pronoun, and huma is used for the attached pronoun in all three cases. Yani marfu'un, mansub, and majrur. Kitabuhuma, meaning kitabuhuma, the book of the two of them. Two of them. You're talking about third person dual. Kitabuhuma. Fi kitabihima. In the book of the two of them. Minhuma. From the two of them. Ilayhima. To the two of them. Fihima. In the two of them. Alayhima. Upon the two of them. Like for example, if you said Dawood wa Sulaiman, what? Alayhima as-salam. Yani peace be upon both of them. Both of them, the father and the son, right? Alayhima. Okay, after this we have the plural, third person feminine plural. In the unattached form we have hunna, and in the attached form we have hunna, the same form, whether it's marfoon or mansoob or majroor. Just as we had for hum, the masculine third person, plural, we have hum in each of the three cases, and here we have hunna in each of the three cases. So third person, plural, masculine is hum, and third person, plural, feminine is what? Hunna, hunna. Okay, going across, we have kitabu hunna, the book of them, or their book. Yani feminine, plural, their book. Kitabuhunna. Fi kitabihinna. In their book. Minhunna. Ilayhinna. Notice, ilayhinna. Huh? Fihinna. And alayhinna. Ilayhinna, alayhinna, fihinna. Any question? Okay, these are the third person pronouns, masculine and feminine, singular, dual, and plural. Singular, dual, and plural. Okay, now we go to the second person, and the second person pronouns are used for when? When do you use second person pronoun as opposed to third person pronoun? Second person pronouns used for what? When you're talking to somebody, directly to someone, you're addressing someone, mukhatab, the one that you're speaking to. Okay, third person is pronouns when you're talking about someone, whether singular, dual, or plural, masculine or feminine. When you're talking about someone, we say third person, al-ghaib. When you're talking to someone, then we say second person, mukhatab. Okay, so we're going to look at second person, masculine first, singular, dual, plural. And then feminine, singular, dual, and plural. Remember, when we look at the pronouns, we say what? That these are the things we got to look at. Do we need a masculine or feminine pronoun? Do we need a singular or dual or plural pronoun? Do we need a first person, second person, or third person pronoun? And do we need a marfu'un or mansub or majrur pronoun? This chart is making us to look at all these things. Masculine, feminine, singular, dual, plural, first person, second person, third person, marfu'un, mansub, majrur, all of these things we are looking at. So there are a lot of factors that we have to consider when we choose a pronoun. So this chart really is showing us and reminding us and helping us to remember when we use which pronoun. If it's masculine, if it's feminine, if it's singular, if it's dual, if it's plural, and so on. All right, so we'll look at second person now. Second person, when you're speaking directly to somebody. The masculine second person pronouns are anta, antuma, and antum. These are the masculine second person. Anta, singular, antuma, dual, and antum, plural. All right, let's go across for anta. Keep it in mind that anta is used in the nominative case, yani when we need a marfu'un pronoun. And if we have an attached pronoun in the genitive or accusative case, yani mansub or majrur, then we use, instead of anta, we say ka. Yani don't say baytu anta. Hada baytu anta. This is your house. That would be wrong, right? You would say hada baytu ka. Now if you said hada baytu ka anta, that's permissible. Yani to say anta after ka, that's permissible. Emphasis, for emphasis. Yani, it's like if you said to a person, this is your house, yours. Yani, you want to repeat it again to make sure that they understand that, yani, you are certain about what you're saying. There's no doubt about it. It's definite, certain. Emphasis. Otherwise, the pronoun that we should be using here is the attached pronoun, ka. So for kitab, we have kitabu ka, meaning your book, speaking to an individual male, your book. Fi kitabika. Notice that here, in this one, fi kitabika, we didn't change the ka to ki. We didn't say, because of the kasra, fi kitabi ki. Because this rule is only for what? Who and whom and huma. Okay? It's only used in those cases, for the third person. It's not used for changing ka to ki. Yani, ka remains ka. And ki remains ki. No matter what the last vowel of the word before it is. So we have anta and ka as the attached pronoun. Kitabuka, fi kitabika. Yani, in your book. Min ka, meaning from you. Ilayka, to you. Fika, in you. And alayka, upon you. Second person, masculine. Dual, antuma. Independent pronoun, antuma. Antuma, muslimani. Meaning what? The two of you. You two are Muslims. Two Muslims. Muslimani. Antuma. But if you need an attached pronoun, you don't say, yani, baytu antuma. But you say what? Baytu kuma. Attached pronoun, instead of antuma, kuma. Okay, so you say kitabu kuma, fi kitabi kuma, min kuma, ilaykuma, fi kuma, and alaykuma, for the duals. For the plural, we have antum as the unattached pronoun in the nominative case, marfu'un, and we have kum, yani the famous kum that we use every day, all the time when we meet Muslims, we say what? As-salamu alaykum. We might add to it what? Wa rahmatullahi. And we might also add to it what? Wa barakatuh. Stop there, please. After that, there's yani, some problems. All right, that's sufficient. Alhamdulillah. Kuma. Yeah, no change here because this is not third person. This is only used for whom and huma and who. Okay? But here there's no change because of the last vowel being kesra or being preceded by ya with sukun. Alright, so we have antum. Attached pronoun kum. Kitabukum. The book of you all. You all's book. Fi kitabikum. Minkum. Ilaykum. Fikum and alaykum. Assalamu alaykum. Yani, originally alaykum is ala and kum. Alaykum. Tayyib. Feminine, second person, singular, dual, and plural. Singular, anti, dual, antuma, the same as the masculine, second person, dual, and plural, antunna. Yani, as opposed to the masculine plural, antum. Feminine plural, antunna. The connected pronoun for The second person, feminine singular, is ki. Yani masculine, ka, feminine, ki. Yani kitabu ka, yani masculine, kitabu ki, feminine. Okay, so we have kitabu ki, meaning, yani hadha kitabu ki. This is your book, if you're speaking to a female. Kitabu ki. If you're speaking to a man, you would say, hadha kitabu ka. Female, hadha kitabu ki. Fi kitabiki. Min ki. From you, speaking to a female. Ilayki, to you. Fiki, in you. Alayki, upon you. Dul, antuma, connected pronoun. Kuma, kitabukuma, the book of the two of you. Fi kitabikuma, in the book of the two of you. Minkuma, from the two of you. Ilaykuma, to the two of you. Fikuma, in the two of you. Alaykuma, upon the two of you. Feminine, second person, plural. Antunna, connected pronoun. Kunna, yani the connected pronoun for masculine, second person, plural, is kum. For feminine, is kunna. Kitabu kunna, meaning the book of you all, group of females. Kitabu kunna. Fi kitabi kunna, in the book of you all. Min kunna, from you all. Ilay kunna, to you all. Fi kunna, in you all. Alay kunna, upon you all. Any question about the second person pronouns, masculine or feminine, singular, dual, or plural? Okay, Naam, Abu Bakr.
Naam. One person. So, like,
Naam. If you meet a person, a male, you meet a brother, and he's by himself, and can you say from a Shara'i point of view, meaning from the perspective of the Sharia, yani legal ruling in Islam, yani the Sharia of Islam, is it permissible to say to that one person, peace be upon you individually, Assalamu alayka? Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, he said, it's perfectly correct and permissible to say to an individual person, Assalamu alayka. But generally we use the plural because the plural is broader in meaning, right? And it includes everyone. And that's always better, right? That we don't, like, you know, try to limit. But it's permissible. There's no blame on a person for doing so. There's no harm. There's nothing wrong with doing so. And it's correct. It's proper to do so. And it's sometimes used, but mostly we use the masculine plural. Now. Yani, the point here is that when you're supplicating, is it permissible to, yani, mura'atu al-mukhatab? Yani, if you're speaking to a certain person, is it permissible in dua to supplicate in consideration of the, yani, who you're making dua about? Yani, if you're talking about yourself or a group of people, yani, the imam is leading the prayer, he shouldn't be supplicating in the singular about himself. So the one who's leading the prayer or giving the khutbah, he should be supplicating in the plural. So yes, it's permissible. It's proper for him to consider that he is making dua not for himself individually, rather he's making dua for the whole congregation. So he can make it plural. Naam, that's correct. It's better for the imam to supplicate in the plural in a group than to supplicate in the singular for himself alone. This is what is more proper. It's a supplication. Yani using the meaning of the supplication, in the same way that some of us, if you remember, the Shaykh Abdul Razak mentioned in the last class that we had last week, yani he mentioned the supplication of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah at the end of Al-Wasiyah al-Sughra. The supplication that he made was derived from an ayah from the Quran. But the wording of it, not the meaning, the wording of it was changed in consideration of what? That he's changing it from, yani, second person to third person, or first person to second person, like this. Okay, so this is permissible in dua, to consider, yani, the meaning of the one who's expressing it, what they are actually talking about, without changing the meaning of it. Without changing the meaning of it. Naam.
Now, in my practice at all,
yes,
I try to use this as an example. Multi, sayah,
Man fi sayaratiki.
Yes, in your car.
Yes.
So I use ki, but now it just does that. That's to remain car.
Ah, yes. Yeah, you say, if you say sayaratiki, it means you're talking to a female. Because fi sayarati, the kesra, doesn't change the pronoun from ka to ki.
Huh? Yao, not ta.
Use ya?
Yeah, yeah.
Why use ya? This is, yani, the word sayara, right? Sayara. Ends with thermabuka. What ya you have? What, where you have ya at?
Instead of thermabuka, I use ya. Change it. That was a mistake. Change it to ta that opens.
Okay, you change it from ta marbuta to ta maftuha. Sayara, if you have fi, it will become sayara ti. If you're talking to a man, you will say ka. If you're talking to a woman, you will say ki. Doesn't matter, this kesra here doesn't change this preposition. The prepositions are fixed, they're mabniun. Ka remains ka, ki remains ki. After that then, inshallah. Allah. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا Okay, 1 minute. Bismillah, wa salatu wa salam, wa rasulillah. Let's finish him first, and then your question. Naam.
Naam, please come on. Morfi Jaibika.
Oh, wait a minute. Did you finish with this one?
Yeah, I'm done with that.
You're done with that?
I took two.
Okay. Two for the price of one, or you're going to pay for both of them? Inshallah. He's going to pay for both of them. Everybody's a witness to this? They're $15 each. Huh? They're not $10 this week. Okay, we'll give you two for the price of one. Go ahead. What is it?
Okay.
Ma fi jaybika. Jaybika. What's the question? What is in your pocket? What's the problem?
Is it correct?
It's correct. Ma fi jaybika. Yani jayb because of preposition fi, right? And ka, it's correct if you're speaking to a man, to a masculine person. And otherwise, if you're speaking to your sister or your mother or your daughter, then you say, ma fi jaybiki ya ukhti ya ummi. Tayyib, Mustafa. It's permissible, yes.
Right.
Yani, maybe your sister came home and she's alone and you said to her, Assalamu alayki. Naam. You can say that to your mother and your sister and your wife. Otherwise, if it's a strange woman, just leave it alone.
But now, when you salam with a group of women,
that can be dangerous.
When you salam with a group of women, you still say, Assalamu alaykum.
No, that's general. We're saying that we're using the masculine second person plural all the time. But is it permissible to consider that this is a group of men or a group of women or an individual or two? It's permissible to consider it. But in general, we just say all the time, Assalamu alaikum. Okay, any question? Any question before we finish this chart? Okay, we have a few minutes, inshallah, then we'll pray. And after prayer, I don't know, is there anybody here who I do not have your email address? Or I do not have your email address? So I need to get it, okay? Because sometimes we have to send out notification and you won't know about it. I don't keep telephone numbers. I don't use telephones. I'm not going to call you on your telephone. I mean, I don't use them, meaning, you know, generally, I don't use them. I don't try to call people on the telephone. And if we have any notification, I'm just going to send the email. So I need to have... Here, you can put it on here for me, brother. That way, because otherwise, I took some couple of people's email and I lost them. I don't know what I did with them. So just put it on there. So try to print clearly the numbers and letters and everything. That's very, very clear. Because sometimes I read them wrong, then it's useless, right? It doesn't go. One letter, one number wrong. I don't know sometimes in between L or 1 or I. I don't know what it is. You know, some people don't make any distinction. So I don't know what it is. And sometimes, you know, other letters and numbers get confused. Now, Mustafa.
Your email is Islamic Lectures?
Well, that's our website email. Here, dawah@islamlecture.com.
You want to send you...
You can send it there, no problem. I will receive it. I'll get it, yeah.
Okay.
The normal email that we use for the class is MAB. Okay, that's the one that we normally send the emails out on. Anyway, if you use this one, same. I'll get it the same way. Okay, I don't normally use this for the class though, but no problem. You can use it. It's for the website. Now, phone number? No, I don't need phone number. I'm not going to call. Inshallah.
Level of study?
Oh, no problem. No problem. We'll put you in all the classes. I'll put it on each one of them. Inshallah. Okay, what remains is, we finished second person, right? Okay, first person, last two lines. Okay, first person, remember, we only have Anna and we have Nahnu. Okay, first person, we only have Anna and we have Nahnu. We don't have masculine and feminine. Why is that? Why we don't have a masculine and feminine? Is it because we ran out of space here?
Same for both.
Yani, a man is saying, Anna Muslim, and a woman is saying, Anna Muslima. Anna is used for masculine and feminine. We, group of women saying, Nahnu Muslimat. We are Muslim women. And a group of men saying, Nahnu Muslimuna. Same thing. Nahnu is used for masculine and feminine. Anna is used for masculine and feminine. Okay, so we're talking about first person. Yani, the speaker. The mutakallim. The speaker is talking about oneself. Anna. Masculine or feminine. If it's one person, they say Anna. If it's a group of people, they say Nahnu, masculine or feminine. If it's two people, what do they do? We don't have a dual here. Huh? Nahnu. The plural is used for the dual. There's no dual form, use the plural. Wherever there's no dual form, use the plural. Naam, you can say it. We are two Muslims. Okay, so the unattached pronoun, the marfu'un form, we say Ana. Ana rajulun. Ana rajulun. She says, Ana imra'a. Huh? He says, Ana muhandis. She says, Ana muhandisa. Ana. Okay, masculine, feminine, no different. If we want to use the attached pronoun, because it's in the position where it's mudafun ilayhi. Like I want to say, the book that belongs to me, my book, right? So I don't say kitabu ana, but I use the attached form for the first person. Huh? Ya al-mutakallim, kitabi, kitabi. And also just make a note, yani, and later probably you'll see it, or you might see it now, depending on what level you're in. Yani, make a note that when ya al-mutakallim, the first person, attached pronoun, is connected to a word, we're not going to see the vowel that represents its case. We're not going to see dhamma, we're not going to see fatha, we're not going to see kasra that represents the case. Whenever ya al-mutakallim is connected to a pronoun, it takes precedence. It must be preceded by kasra. No matter if the word is marfu'un or mansub or majrur, yani ya al-mutakallim, have to be preceded by kasra. So the word is always going to end with kasra, even though originally that word should end with dhamma or should end with fatha. It has to end with kasra in order to be munasib, yani appropriate to be attached to ya al-mutakallim. Ya al-mutakallim is always sound, always going to be ee. It's always going to be ee. Sayyarati. Huh? Kitabi. Like this. Now, so the attached form is E sound, right? Preceded by kasra. So in that case, with the word book, we have kitab, kitabi, meaning my book. Fi, kitabi, in my book. No change, right? Minni. We have something here happening. Minni. And then we have, minni means what? From me. Ilayya means to me. Fiyya means in me. And alayya means upon me. Okay, what do we have strange happening here? Okay, the first thing we have strange, we have minni. Look at this. Minni. Minni. This is composed of min, right, with sukoon, and ya al-mutakallim, with sukoon. Huh? Originally we sang min and ya al-mutakallim. What happened here is that ya al-mutakallim, in order for it not to be confused with what is before it, then often it is used with what is called the noon of wiqaya, the protective noon that separates ya al-mutakallim from whatever you're going to join it to, so that it's not, there's no confusion about this ya, what it is. Okay, so this noon al-wiqaya is being placed here in between the preposition and ya al-mutakallim, noon al-wiqaya. Because of that, we end up with what? A noon with sukoon from the word min, from the preposition min, and another noon, the noon al-wiqaya, two noons. And then ya al-mutakallim has to be preceded by what? Kasra. Alright? So we write it as what? The two noons, the first noon was sukoon and the second noon and its vowel became shadda. Okay? Whenever you have a letter, repeat it twice, back to back, with the condition that the first one must not have a vowel. It must be sakin. The first one of those two letters has to be without a vowel, it has to be sakin. In that case, you don't write it twice. You only write it one time with shadda. So that's what we have in this word, minni. We have what? We have min plus noon al-waqaya and ya al-mutakallim, minni. It means what? From me. So pay attention to this because it might look a little strange. What happened to min? And you would think it should be mini. That's what you would think. It should be mini. Right? Because you have min and then you have ya, have to be preceded by kasra, becomes mini. But rather there's noon al-waqaya in between. Don't worry so much about noon al-waqaya for now. It's not on this level, but I just want you to understand what's happening here, that there's some reason for this. They didn't just make it up out of nowhere. Okay? There's a reason for it. Okay? So there's an extra noon being added here, and that's why the word is pronounced with two noons with the shadda. Minni. Minni. Okay? Now, somebody has a question. Mustafa.
Yeah. Before the last two columns.
Yes. Yes.
How do you pronounce that?
In the first of the last two columns?
Yeah.
Yani, you have Anna and then you have Ya with Sukoon?
Yeah.
How do you pronounce it? You pronounce
it's
it?
No.
Yeah, it's not going to be by itself, okay? It's never going to be by itself because this Ya is an attached pronoun. It has to be attached to something. Okay. So once you attach it to something, it must be preceded by Kesra. Remember, I said it must be preceded by kasra. So how are you going to pronounce it? You're going to pronounce it kasra, ya with sukoon, ee. That's how you're going to pronounce it. But as it is right there, yeah, how do you pronounce it? That's why I call it ya al-mutakallim. The ya, that's for the first person singular. That represents ana. Okay? But how do you pronounce it? You have to pronounce it connected to another word with a kasra before it. So it's going to be pronounced kasra, ya, meaning elongation, ee. Alright?
Okay.
Okay, this is a good question, really. Very important question. I probably would have never thought to explain this, but I'm happy that you asked the question. Okay, that's how you pronounce it. You pronounce it with the kesra that is mandatory to be to come before it. Pronounce it with kesra. Okay, okay, so this is the first one. Minni. And after minni, we have ilayya. And this is also another matter here, ilayya. Look underneath the last column, it says, please note. You see in small print there, under the last column, it says, please note. When a word ends with ya, with sukoon, and we attach it to a pronoun, the ya of the speaker, the pronoun ya, which means ya al-mutakallim, the ya of the speaker, that represents ana, I, it results in a ya with a shadda and a fatha. What are we saying? When a word ends with ya, the word itself ends with ya, and then we attach it to another ya, which is the pronoun ya, first person, it results in the ya, yani the word ends with ya, right? And then we attach it to ya al-mutakallam, which also has sukoon. Then it ends up, as we said, that whenever there's a letter repeated twice, we only write it once with shadda. Alright, if the first one has sukoon. In this case, both of them have sukoon. Yani the ya that the word ended with has sukoon, and the ya al-mutakallam originally has sukoon. Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. We're going to pray in about 10 minutes, brother. In about 10 minutes, inshallah. Okay, so because both of them have sukoon, we don't allow two letters back to back in Arabic to have sukoon. That's called what? Iltiqa' sakinain. Two sukoon letters, sakin letters meeting. So to get rid of that, this one, they said, okay, this we can't have both of them with sukoon, so we're going to put fatha here. So then it's written as a ya with sukoon, and a yani whenever a letter with sukoon is followed by the same letter, you write it with shadda and the vowel of the second letter. So that's how we get this ending, ya, with shadda and fatha. Okay, so we're going to see that happening in this line here. Okay, so we see that we have what? We have after minni, we have ilayya. Ilayya. Ilayya is a combination of ila, right, and ya. Ila and ya. But this ila, we say when it's connected to something, right, the alif maksur becomes what? It becomes ya. It becomes ya. So we have e. This is ya here. We have this ya. Because alif maksur becomes ya. And then it's followed by another ya. Right? So it becomes two ya's. The first one with sukoon. Right? So we can write it with shadda. And then the second one also has sukoon, and we can't have that, we just said, right? So we're going to do the same thing. We're going to put a fatha here. So it became ilayya. It's a combination of what? Ila and ya. Ila, the alif maksura, became a ya, a regular ya, when you attach it to something, right? So it became a regular ya with sukoon, followed by another ya. So you write them together with shadda, and now you have two letters. Both of them have sukoon. We can't have that. So the last one, we put fatha on it. So it became ilayya, yani to me, send it to me. Yani you say, arsil hadha ila ana, yani ilayya, ilayya,
now. No, well, that's basically the answer. I understand, like, the correct way to read it, because you can't use the sukoon on top of the shadda and the fatha.
No, you can't have two letters back to back with sukoon. So the second one, they vowelize it, they make it fatha.
Yeah, because I was thinking about, like you said, when you talk about yourself,
No, it doesn't have a kesra.
Right.
It doesn't have a fatha. But the Arabs decided, in this case, when we have these two letters back to back, two ya's, both of them have sukoon, they decided that the second one we're going to put fatha on it. That's what they decided. Alright, so that's what it is. Khalas, the case is closed. Alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Because we don't like to argue with people, right? This is their language. This is how they made it. MashaAllah, it's very good. It's put together in a perfect manner. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He intended to use this language for the revelation of the final, yani, the final guidance for humanity. So He used this best language that could express it. Everything exactly the way Allah intended it to be. So this is how they made it, by guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and therefore we are going to accept it just as it is. So when we have ila ana, we say ilayya, ilayya. So that's what we have here in this particular word, yani ila and ya ilayya. And then we have the same thing, fi and ya, right? We have the same thing. We have fi, and we have ya again. So we have a ya here, one ya with sukoon, another ya with sukoon. So we put them together, make one ya with shadda, and we put a fatta on it to get rid of the two second letters coming back together, fi ya, back to back. And then we have ala ya, the same thing again. Ala, the alif maksura in ala becomes a ya with sukoon, followed by another ya with sukoon. We double them with shadda and put fatta on it. So in this case we have what? Ilayya, fiyya, and alayya. And alayya. And then just to close the last line, we have nahnu, first person plural, yani unattached, independent pronoun. The attached pronoun is na, noon fatta alif, elongated, na. And therefore we have kitabu na, our book, fi kitabi, with kasra, right? Fi kitabina. And then we have min, na, okay? We have min and we have na. So we have two noons. We have the noon from min, right? And then we have the pronoun na. So these noon with sukoon, followed by another noon, we put them together with shadda, right? Min na. And then we have ilayna, yani ila, plus na, ilayna, fina, and alayna. Alright, and the last line, after the note that says, when a word ends with the ya with sukoon, and we attach it to a pronoun, the pronoun ya of the speaker, mutakallam, it results in ya, written with shadda and fatta. And also, we say that, yani, these two ya's, the ya, they are showing us in diagram form, the ya with sukoon plus the ya of mutakallam, which has sukoon, it equals, yani, a ya being written with a shadda and a fatta. And that's the end of this page. And today, yani, hopefully it's not a hardship on anybody or inconvenience, but last week there was a request to extend this class because half an hour of the class is taken for the Salat. So inshallah today we're going to extend the class so that we get the full 2 hours for this class. So the class is going to go, instead of to 2 o'clock, it's going to go to 2:30. Then the next class will be from 2:30 to 4:30 with their full 2 hours. And the third class will also get its full 2 hours. Everybody's going to get equal time now, okay? What they call it? Equal time for equal pay? Is that how they say it? Something like that. In any case, doesn't matter. The point is, we want to try to make it yani fair for everybody, right? So please, if you can stay for an extra half an hour, please stay. And we'll try to complete after the salat. We'll come back after the salat. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت استغفرك وأتوب إليك. After the salat, نعم. بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. Okay, again, this is the second part of our 10th session for basic Arabic grammar review. Before the salat, and we went over in detail a review of what we covered and in previous sessions concerning prepositions and also what we covered concerning pronouns. Different types of prepositions, different types of pronouns, and how they are used. And after that review, then we went through the chart on page 10, dealing with specifically the use of the connected or attached pronouns that are used in the accusative, yani mansub, or genitive majrur case. Yani when those pronouns, the attached pronouns, when they are attached to a clear noun, like kitab, kitabuhu, kitabuha, kitabuki, kitabuka, and so on, or when they are attached to a preposition, like minhu, ilayhi, fihi, and alayhi, like this. Okay, so we went through the whole chart, which each of the pronouns, yani singular, dual, and plural, masculine and feminine, first person, second person, and third person. And in the time remaining, we want to look at the next page, which is a continuation of the same chart. Continuation of the same chart on the next page, where they bring the other prepositions and some of the adverbs. Yani, they bring the preposition li and bi and an, and then they have the zarf, anda, and They also have ma'a. And prepositions and adverbs in Arabic function similarly, in that the word following the preposition is going to be majroor in the genitive case. And the word following the dharf, the adverb, is also going to be majroor. Not for the same reason, but it's going to be majroor. So in that sense, they function the same. The noun following a preposition is majroor. You say, yani, harf jar, the preposition, and the ism that follows it, ism majroor. Why is it majroor? Because of the preposition. And as far as the adverb, then the noun following it is mudawfun ilayhi majroor. But the point is, in both cases, the noun following a preposition and an adverb is in Arabic is majroor. Alright, so we will see the same thing happening, yani, with the preposition, we'll see the same thing happening with the adverb. So they gave us, yani, the remaining prepositions that we took in book one, li and bi and an, and then they gave us two adverbs, anda and ma'a. And we had both of them also in book one. Alright, so the chart continues with these prepositions and these adverbs. The same, yani, chart, the same setup. We want to look at here on the following page and try to go through it like we went through the previous page. And if you have a question, please ask. Okay, because when you have to do exercises on your own related to this, you have to make sure you understand it. If you understand it, it's not going to be difficult. And when I say it's not going to be difficult, I don't mean that you're going to get everyone right. You're going to get 100%. You might understand something, you take a test, you don't get 100% maybe. Maybe you get 99% or 98 or 97. Inshallah, hopefully at least. But the human being is subject to error, right? Only Allah has perfection. So the point is, if you understand it, it's not going to be difficult to do well with it. Even though you might miss one here or there, but that's okay. That's okay. If you get them all right, mashallah. And we praise Allah. Because success is only from Allah. Page 11. Handouts for the Medina Book 1. Okay, we have the same columns. Yani, the first column from the right is marfu'un, the pronouns when they are, yani, when they are not attached. In the nominative case, when they are not attached, huwa and huma and hum and hiya. Any third person, masculine, singular, dual, plural, feminine, singular, dual, plural. And then second person. Next three boxes, second person, masculine, singular, dual, and plural. And then feminine, singular, dual, and plural. And then the last two boxes going down is the first person, singular, and first person, plural. Okay, the first column are the unattached pronouns. And the second column are the pronouns that we want to deal with. That is the attached pronouns when they're connected to a clear noun or when they're connected to a preposition. This is how the pronoun looks when they are connected. And you have third person, masculine, singular, who, and dual, huma, and plural, hum. And then you have third person, feminine, singular, ha, dual, huma, plural, hunna. Then you have second person, masculine, singular, ka, dual, kuma, plural, kum. And then, yani, the next three columns, second person, feminine, singular, is ki, dual, kuma, plural, kunna. And then you have ya al-mutakallam, yani, first person, singular, and na, first person, plural. We're going to use these, the second row of pronouns, the attached pronouns. We're going to connect them to clear noun, and then we're going to connect them to prepositions. And we're going to see, again, some irregularities. So we're going to pay attention to what is a little bit irregular, and the rest of it should follow suit just as what we did previously. Okay, so going across the first line from the top, first column, huwa, that's the unattached pronoun. Hu is when the pronoun is attached. Which pronoun are we talking about? We're talking about the third person when you're talking about somebody. We're talking about masculine if you're talking about a male. And we're talking about the singular, an individual, yani, male, that you're talking about in the third person. So we're saying, who, yani, meaning his whatever. Okay, so, yani, Baytu Muhammadin, from the top of that of the column, Baytul Muhammadin means the house of Muhammad or Muhammad's house. If you replace Muhammad with a pronoun, then you say his house, Baytul Hu. Alright, so we have Baytul Hu. If it's following a preposition, Fi Bayti He. Same thing as we said before, Bayti, yani Bayti took Kesra here because of Fi. And since it's ending with Kesra, the Hu becomes He. Fi Bayti He, in his house. Okay, now we have the preposition Li. Li means for or belonging to. Okay, the preposition Li, like in Alhamdu Lillahi, the praise belongs to Allah. This li, when it is used with pronouns, the kesra of li becomes fatta. The kesra of li becomes fatta. So you don't say lihu, you say lahu. Laha, laka, laki, huh? Lakum. Okay, so originally this lahu is the preposition li. But when it's connected to pronouns, except the first person pronoun, ya al-mutakallam, then it remains as kesra, right? Because ya al-mutakallam must always be preceded by the vowel kesra. Ya al-mutakallam must always be preceded by the vowel kesra. Okay, so we have here, lahu, it means what? For him. Yani, if you said to somebody, you handed them a pen and you say, Hada lahu, this is for him, or this belongs to him. Okay? After that, we have the preposition be. Okay? Be, it ends with kesra. So the pronoun who is always going to, with be, is always going to be bihi. Hum is going to be bihim. Hunna is going to be bihinna. Okay, because of the kesra. Okay, we said kesra or ya wa sukoon changes who and whom and hunna, yani to he and him and hinna. So we have bihi, yani with him, with or by or in or at or on. Yani the preposition bi has a lot of meanings, more than what they mentioned here. Has a lot of meanings. Okay, so sometimes you have to pay attention. What is the intended meaning of bi? It could mean with, by, at, in even. Okay, it has a lot of meaning. So from the context, you have to be careful and make sure that you apply to it the meaning that is appropriate in that particular yani expression, the way it came. Now.
So, I mean, like you said, it means in some cases.
In some cases, now.
Now, you can't
say be. No. You can't use it for in. In every place. But in some cases, when B is used, the meaning of it will be in. Okay? In any case, and we're not so concerned about all of its meanings at this point, but at this point what we're concerned about is how to use it. Okay? We know the general meaning of it. B means with.
Right.
Or it means, yani, for example, you say, well, we'll look at some examples, inshallah. Yani. Like Bismillah.
Oh, yeah.
Bismillah, right? Here, huh? إنما الأعمال بالنيات. نعم. So we can see from this that يعني B, it may have different meanings. يعني we say Bismillah, some people say in the name of Allah. In the name of Allah. يعني meaning I'm doing this in the name of Allah. It might say, you might say it means with the name of Allah. يعني I'm doing this with the name of Allah, meaning by using the name of Allah. With يعني the name of Allah being mentioned. With the name of Allah being mentioned, meaning seeking help from Allah, seeking assistance from Allah. You can go right here in the front and pray if you like. Alright? Okay, so the meanings of be are many. Okay, from the context, inshallah, we'll try to understand what they mean when we see them in context. Okay, so be, we say bihi. An means from, off, about, away from, concerning. Yani, like you say, radiallahu anhu. May Allah be pleased with him. Or we say, an Aishata radiallahu anha, from. Yani meaning something is narrated from, on the authority of so and so, and like this, okay? Or, Sa'altuhu an hadha al-amra. I asked him about, concerning this particular affair. So it has a lot of meanings, depending on the context that it came in, okay? So an, okay, this is the preposition. And then anda is the zarf. It means at or by or near. Or at the time when. Yani at the time when this happened. Anda nuzul al-matar. At the time when the rain descended. At that time, yani, you should recite such and such supplication, okay? So anda, yani, has different meanings. Also, ma'a means with. Okay, a lot of times we get mixed up between anda and ma'a. And I think we had this discussion in lesson 4 or 5 around that time, in Medina book 1. And the difference between anda and ma'a. Anda is generally used, yani, if you said, huwa anda al-imam. He is with the imam. Meaning, with the imam, in the place of the imam. Where the imam is normally, in the masjid, in the imam's office, like this. But if you say, huwa ma'a al-imam, that means general. He could be with the imam anywhere. At the supermarket, at the park, wherever. Okay? So, anda is more so used specifically to a certain place. Yani, anda al-mudir. He's with the principal. Yani, it's going to be in school, at the principal's office. But if you say, ma'a al-mudir, he might be with him anywhere. At his home or any place else. Alright? So, in any case, yani, we have to try to pay attention sometimes to these little differences. Okay, let's go across the chart. First line, huwa hu, baytuhu, fi baytihi. Fi baytihi, because hu becomes he. And then we have the preposition li, which means for or belonging to, lahu, yani, for him, bihi, with him or by him, or even at, yani. Like you say, for example, يعني درست في الجامعة الإسلامية بالمدينة المنورة. B means at, يعني, or like this. طيب, B, he, عنه, from him or concerning him or like this. عنده, عنده, with him or by him or near him. معه, معه, also means with him, and so on. Any question? Any question? طيب. Next line. Duals. Third person, masculine, dual. Huma. Notice that the attached form and the unattached form is the same here. Huma. And likewise, the following plural, hum and hum, attached and unattached forms are the same. Okay, for the dual, huma, baytu huma means what? The house of the two of them. Fi bayti hima, bayti hima, meaning in the house of the two of them. Lahuma, for the two of them. Bihima, with the two of them or by the two of them. Anhuma, from the two of them or concerning the two of them. Indahuma, yani with the two of them or near the two of them. Mahuma, with the two of them. Plural, third person, masculine, plural, hum, both attached and unattached form being the same. You say, هذا بيتهم, their house. في بيتهم, in their house. لهم, لهم مغفرة من ربهم. For them is مغفرة, forgiveness from their Lord. لهم, for them. بهم, with them. عنهم, from them. عندهم, with them. And معهم, also with them. Yani, of course, with the difference in the meaning of عند and مع. Okay, feminine, third person, singular. هي, the attached pronoun is ها. Yani, her house, بيتها. In her house, في بيتها. This is for her, لها. With her, or by her, at her, بها, عن her, from her or concerning her, عندها, with her or in her presence, معها, with her, somewhere, anywhere. دول هما, same form for attached and unattached. بيتهما, the house of the two of them. في بيتهما, تيهما, هما became هما, يعني in the house of the two of them. لهما, يعني for the two of them. بهما, with the two of them, or by the two of them, or at the two of them. عنهما, concerning or from or about the two of them. عِنْدَهُمَا with or by or near the two of them, and مَعَهُمَا with the two of them. The third person, feminine plural, هُنَّ. And you're talking third person about them, feminine, women, plural, three or more. هُنَّ. The attached and unattached forms are the same. بَيْتُهُنَّ. Their house. يعني feminine, plural, their house. في بيتهن هن هن became هن in their house لهن لهن for them بهن with by or at them عن هن from them or concerning them عندهن عندهن at or by or near them and ما هن with them second person masculine singular dual and plural أنت أنتما أنتم attached pronouns ka for anta, kuma for antuma, and kum for antum. Attached pronouns ka, kuma, and kum. So we have for ka, second person, masculine, singular. Yani anta, you, speaking to a male, individual. Yani, attached pronoun ka, baytu ka, your house. Fi bayti ka, in your house. Laka أهدي لك هدية نعم أهدي يعني from أهدى أنا أهدي أهدي لك هدية shall I give you a gift what shall you say no بلا I'm sorry, I should say, ألا أهدي لك. That's what he said in the hadith. ألا أهدي لك هدية. نعم. Okay, so after this, نعم. Second person, we're talking about second person. لك for you. بك with you. عنك from or concerning you. عندك يعني with you or in your presence. معك with you. Second person dual. أنتما attached pronoun kuma baytukuma the house of the two of you fi baytikuma in your the house of the two of you lakuma for the two of you bikuma with or by or in or at the two of you ankuma from or concerning the two of you indakuma at by or near the two of you ma'akuma with the two of you second person masculine plural you all three or more masculine, yani addressing people directly, you say antum, that's the unattached pronoun, and kum is the attached pronoun, baytukum, the house of you all, your house, fi baytikum, in your house, you all, plural, lakum, this is for you all, bikum, with you all, ankum, from you all, andakum, yani in the presence of you all, at or by or near, or ma'akum, with you all, yani second person, masculine, plural, you all, men, brothers. Feminine, second person, singular, dual, and plural, anti, antuma. Notice that antuma, second person, dual for masculine and feminine, is the same. Anti, yani masculine, singular, anta. Feminine, anti. But dual, antuma, is the same. Plural, second person, feminine, plural, speaking to a group of women, antunna. Okay, the attached pronoun for anti is ki. Ki. Baytu ki. Your house. Fi bayti ki. In your house. Laki. For you. Biki. With you. Anki. From you. Andaki. Yani at or near you. Ma'aki. With you. Duals are the same as we read for the masculine. Antuma and kuma. Baytu kuma. Yani the house of you two. Fi baytikuma, in the house of you two, lakuma, for you two, bikuma, with or at, or by you two, ankuma, from you two, andakuma, near the two of you, ma'akuma, with the two of you. Plural, feminine, antunna. Masculine, antum, plural, feminine, antunna. Attached pronoun, kunna, baytukunna, you all's house, meaning feminine, plural, fi bayti kunna, in you all's house, lakunna. Tariq, you said we can't say you all, right? No, okay, so we'll say you, meaning plural, yani, three or more. Lakunna, for you, meaning plural feminine. Bikunna, with you all. Ankunna, from you all. Andakunna, in the presence or near you all. Ma'akunna, with you all, feminine. Second person, plural. And the last two columns are the first person, singular, ana, and plural, nahnu. And the attached pronoun for ana is ya al-mutakallam. Yani, always going to be preceded by kasra, it will be pronounced e. So you pronounce it, yani, my house, bayti. In my house, fi, bayti. For me, li. With me, bi. Anni, notice that. Anni, yani, it has a shadda on the noon because the extra noon is added here. This extra noon is called what? Noon al-waqaya. It's an extra noon added here. Originally it's an, and then there's ya al-mutakallam, but we have a noon in between them, so it became anni, yani, from me, indi, yani, in my presence, ma'i, with me. The plurals, nahnu, attached pronoun, na, baytuna, our house, fi baytina, in our house, lana, for us, bina, with us, anna, from us or concerning us, indana, in our presence, ma'ana, with us. And I just want to remind us, the preposition li, originally it has kasra, but with the pronouns we saw, it became, with the pronouns became with fatha, lahu, lahuma, lahum, feminine, laha, lahuma, and lahunna, second person masculine, laka, lakuma, and lakum, and feminine, second person, laki, lakuma, and lakunna, and first person, singular, li, and plural, lana. So we notice that the li, the preposition li, which means for or belonging to, it takes fatha when it's connected to all the pronouns except the first person singular, ya al-mutakallam. It retains its kasra because ya al-mutakallam is always, wa alaykum salam, is always preceded by kasra. Any question? Naam, Abu Bakr. Naam. لكم دينكم وليا نعم نعم yeah I don't remember it slips my mind right now why is it fatha there I don't remember. But yani, probably if you look in general tafsir, yani, most of the tafsirs will probably yani, give some commentary related to it. Otherwise, the tafsirs that deal with Arabic grammar explain those kind of things in detail. Yeah. But originally, naam. Originally, it is yani, the preposition li and ya al-mutakallam, naam. Naam. This is where we want to stop for today. The next two pages, 12 and 13, are actually going through what we just went through as an exercise. So for homework, and if you can write out, and just for practice, write out, and of course the practice would be with two objectives. The first objective is to make sure that you know how to connect these pronouns to the prepositions. Or to clear nouns. Okay, the first objective is to make sure you know how to connect them and what form they take if there's any irregularity, like who being changed to he or something like this. Okay? The second objective is to practice your writing. And I find that one of the most, yani, I don't know what word I want to use, I don't want to be too extreme, but yani, it troubles me to no end to see that a person can finish Medina Book 1. And sometimes Medina Book 2. And even go further than that and we cannot write properly. And we don't write. We don't practice writing. We read a lot, but we don't write much. So I like to encourage that we write these exercises out. Write them out. And just for these two reasons. One, to make sure we know how to use them properly. And two, to practice writing. We have to practice writing. We have to practice writing. Okay? I mean, I have seen sometimes a person will come to the board to write something and take a long time to write one sentence because we're not used to writing. So please try to practice your writing. Yani, whenever you're doing any exercises that require writing, write it out. Sometimes write it more than once. Yani, repetition is extremely useful. Any question about what has to be done here? Okay, what has to be done here is just what we did in the class today. Yani, exactly what we did on page 10 and 11 is what we're going to do on page 12 and 13. Same thing, but I don't want you to copy from page 10, yani what's on page 10 to page 12. Copy it. No, I want you to write it out yourself. Write it out, go through the exercise and try to write it out. After you write it out, you can go back and check and see how well you did. And if you made a mistake, you can erase it. Write with a pencil, erase it and fix it, no problem. But first, try to do it on your own. Don't just open page 10 and to page 12 and just copy it the same way it is. But try to write it out. It's very important that you know where you're at yourself. You know, a lot of people don't like to take tests. And some people are not good at taking tests, even though they know the information. A lot of people are afraid of tests because the test brings out, yani, or gives some indication of what you know and what you don't know. But this is not a test where you're going to be graded by somebody else. This is a test where you're going to grade your own self. So you see where you're at and where you're, yani, falling short and where you need help. And inshallah, hopefully everybody come to class next week having written this out. 2 pages. It's a lot. It's quite a bit. But please try to take a little bit of time every day, 10, 15, 20 minutes, until you finish it, and then go over it and review it before we go to the next subject. Okay, we're going to stop here take a break for the next class. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Again, if anybody, I don't have your email address, please take one of those sheets and write it clear for me so I can add you to the list when we have any announcement. And by the way, for the everybody who's in this class right here, in the next class, class number 2, we're going to be taking a new course, and that is the fiqh of the second level of the Medina course, fiqh book. Okay? And that fiqh is basic fiqh. Yani, dealing with wudu and tayammum and ghusl and kayfiyat, how you perform the salah and salatul janazah and hajj and umrah, basic forms of worship that we all, yani, are responsible for. So if anybody would like to sit in that class, you're welcome. You're welcome. As always, it's free. Yani, there's no course, it's just your time. You have to spend some time. That's it. That's all you have to spend. You don't have to spend any dollars. Just time, inshallah. We're going to be doing this for the next, there's about 10 chapters in this book, so at least for the next 10, 12, 13, 14 weeks, depending on how much we can cover each session. For the next few months, we're going to be doing fiqh of ibadah, worship. Very, very simple fiqh. It's designed to make sure you're familiar with this act of worship, how it is done, but also be familiar with the terminology that's used in reference to these acts of worship. It's the Arabic terminology. And also there are grammatical points that are in each topic of fiqh. There are grammatical points that we're going to learn also, or we're going to review if we already know them. Now, jazakum Allah khair. Barakallahu fiqh. Subhanallah.